Are you happy? Are you? I know we've just been talking about ice cream. That just got you happy in and of itself. Are you happy? As a Christian, are you happy? What does it take to be happy? What does it take to make you happy? I asked a friend of mine this afternoon, how can I be happy? And one of the first things he said, I don't know if I should tell you his name or not. His first initial is G. His last name is Oogle. Maybe you can figure out who it is. But I asked a friend of mine this afternoon, how can I, it's Google for those of you who haven't figured it out. How can I be happy? And one of the first things, and it may have been the first thing after you get through all that stuff that's not real. One of the first things that popped up was 10 scientifically proven ways to be happy. Well, if something's scientifically proven, I mean, who can argue with that, right? I mean, if scientists are telling us how to be happy, here it is. So some of these are actually pretty decent, but I thought this was interesting. 10 scientifically proven ways to be not just happy, but incredibly happy. Number one, this list is horrible just because of number one. Number one, exercise. Isn't that miserable? If that's what you got to do to be happy, man. Okay, anyway. All right, so 10 scientifically proven ways to be incredibly happy. Number one, exercise. Number two, sleep more. Some of us, we're just going to say, forget it. Number three, spend more time with family and friends. All right, now we're getting close, depending on who your family and friends are. Number four, get outside more. Number five, help others. Six, practice smiling. Number seven, plan a trip. It didn't say actually go on the trip. Don't know how you're going to pay for the trip, but plan a trip. That'll make you happy. Number eight, meditate. Number nine, move closer to work. And number, I'm just reading the list. It's scientifically proven, okay? Move closer to work. Number 10, practice gratitude. So you choose from those 10. There might be some there that you think, hey, that's a pretty good way. That could make me happy. What is it that's going to make us happy? What is it going to make you happy? Do you know that God gives us a tried and proven formula for being happy? You want to see it? You want it? Get your Bibles and go to 1 Peter chapter 3. That's where we're going to park right here. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 12 tonight. We're going to let God show us His tried and proven formula for being happy. Better than scientifically proven, this is heaven proven, okay? This is God proven. Here's God's formula for being happy. And we're just going to look at 1 Peter, I don't know what I said. 1 Peter chapter 3, if I said Timothy, that's the wrong dude. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. And what we're going to find here is how God is going to show us, because look at those first few words. For he who would love life and see good days. What does that mean? I want to be happy. I want to love life. I want to have good days. I want to see good days. So here's what God is saying. Here's how you can be happy. You want to be happy in life? God's going to tell us how. And so we're going to divide this into two major sections tonight. The first thing we're going to see tonight as we look at these verses, the first thing we've got to do in order to be happy is we've got to heed God's warning against sadness. If I were to ask you what's the opposite of being happy, I just sort of said it, didn't I? What's the opposite of being happy? Being sad. In this passage, God tells us how to be sad. Wait a minute, I thought you said God tells us how to be happy. He does. God tells us how to be happy in these verses, and at the same time, He warns us, don't do these things, otherwise you're going to be sad. So before we look at God's formula for being happy, I want us to look at the fact that we've got to heed God's warning about the dangers of sadness. I thought about asking somebody, and I don't know who I trust. Simon, you know, if you're going to school, you're returning to school this week. Maybe I should ask Sully. I don't know who to trust here. But if you were to spell the word sad, how would you spell that? Well, Simon and Sully starts with the letter S. So we're going to start there. S-A-D is how you spell sad. God uses S-A-D in this passage to say, here are some things that you need to avoid if you're going to be happy. Or you can just do them if you want to be sad. All right, so here's what I want you to do. Look at verses 10, 11, and 12. Do you see the word evil in verse 10? Find the word evil in verse 10. Now drop down to verse 11. Do you see the word evil in verse 11? You got it? Pinpoint it. Drop down to verse 12. You see the word evil in verse 12. We've got three verses, and in each of these three verses, God has the word evil. You think evil has anything to do with being sad? Yeah, it's got everything to do with being sad. So I want us to focus on that word evil for these next couple minutes, and I want us to see, here's God's warning about being sad. Here's God's warning. Here's what you've got to do. His guarantee, if you do these things, you're going to be sad, or if you stay away from them, you won't be sad. Here's the first thing. Here's God's guarantee for sadness is you're going to be sad if you speak evil. That's your S for speak evil. Look in verse 10 where he says, he would love life and see good days. Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. You want to be happy? You better stop speaking evil. You better avoid speaking evil. You want to be sad? Okay, go ahead and speak evil. But isn't that what, how much does the Bible tell us about our tongue? God says right here to refrain his tongue from evil. How much evil? How about all evil? In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31, God tells us, let all bitterness be put away from you. Does that include bitterness that might come out of my mouth? Do I need to remove all bitter speech from my life? A little later on in that same verse, for Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31, remove all evil speaking from you. Anything that would be regarded as evil speaking, God says remove it from you. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8, God says remove all blasphemy from your lips. Remove all filthy language, he says later on in that verse, from your mouth. You want to be happy? Get filthy language out of your life. You want to be happy? Get blasphemy out of your mouth, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8. Over in James, and we're close in 1 Peter chapter 3, but back in James chapter 4 and verse 11, the verse begins with these simple words. And sometimes we just run right over this trying to get to the rest of the verse. But in James chapter 4 and verse 11, it starts off by saying, do not speak evil of one another. Is that a verse that we need to read over and over? I want you to look around in this congregation. And folks, God says, don't speak evil of one another. There's not an exception to that. So God says, if you want to be sad, you just keep right on speaking evil. But if you want to be happy, get all of this evil out of your mouth and stop speaking evil of each other. Get rid of all lying. How much lying do I have a right to have as a part of my speech? In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 9, God says to get all lying, get all deceit put out of my mouth. Because Revelation 21 and verse 8 says, all liars are going to have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. So here's God's formula. He starts off by saying, here's some things you need to heed. You need to heed my warning about sadness. Because God guarantees you're going to be sad if you keep speaking evil. Second thing he says, drop down to verse 11. God guarantees you're going to be sad if you associate. There's your A for sad. If you associate with evil. You speak evil, you're going to be sad. If you associate with evil, you're going to be sad. Look at verse 11. Let him turn away from evil. You want to be sad? Ignore that verse. You want to be sad? Associate with evil. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, God says, I want you to test everything. Test everything. And you hold fast to that which is good, but the next verse says, you abstain. You know what that word means? You abstain from every form of evil. Is it okay if I have a little bit of a relationship with a little bit of evil? God says, abstain from every part of it. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 9, God says to abhor evil. If I abhor something, am I going to have a relationship with it? If I abhor something, am I going to go camping with it? If I abhor something, am I going to spend the weekend with it? I'm not going to have anything to do with it. God says if you want to be sad, you continue to associate with evil. But he says if you want to be happy, stop associating with evil. Even back in the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 23 and verse 2, God told them, do not follow a crowd to do evil. We think, of course, I shouldn't do that. But you remember Peter? After Jesus was arrested, and of course, Jesus said, all of you are going to forsake me this night, and they did, and they all fled. But you remember how Peter followed from a distance? Jesus was taken, and he was put on trial. Peter made his way into that courtyard where Jesus was on trial. Remember what the Bible says? It says it in Mark's account, says it in John's account. It says that Peter went over there with the enemies of Jesus. And he was warming himself there by the fire. Oh, I'm okay. I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ, for crying out loud. I'm okay. Nothing's going to get to me. And he's warming himself there with the enemies of Jesus. What did that cause him to do? To deny Jesus three times, something he vehemently said he would never do. What caused Peter to deny Jesus? He went and warmed himself. He went and associated with those who were completely opposed to Jesus Christ. What does that say to us? Be not deceived. Evil company corrupts good morals. We got to watch out. We got to be aware of our surroundings. And God says, you want to be sad? You keep associating with evil. But if you want to be happy, you got to stop that. You got to stop that and get away from it. All right. Number three, when we're talking about this matter of heeding God's warning about sadness, He guarantees we're going to be sad if we speak evil. He guarantees we're going to be sad if we associate with evil. Now the third time we're going to see the word evil is down in verse 12. God guarantees we're going to be sad if we do evil. Look in verse 12. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. God says you want to be sad? Not just a matter of speaking evil. Not just a matter of associating with evil. You go and you practice those things that God would call evil. Sometime look up in your concordance where the Bible says, practice such things. Have you heard that Bible expression before? Practice such things. You're going to find it a couple times. You're going to find it in Galatians chapter 5. You know Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21? If I tell you that verses 22 and 23 are about the fruit of the Spirit, do you know what verses 19, 20, and 21 are about? If the fruit of the Spirit is over here, you know what he talks about first? The works of the flesh. And as God enumerates the works of the flesh, adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, as he enumerates the works of the flesh, he gets to the end and he says, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. God says, get away from them. Don't have anything to do with these things. Don't get involved in practicing these things. Because if you practice not just these things, but he says if you practice such things, anything like this, you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And then you're going to find that expression again in Romans chapter 1. Practice such things. Do you know what the end of Romans chapter 1 talks about? Romans chapter 1 verses 18 down through the end of the chapter verse 32. You know what that chapter is about? The end of that chapter is about what happens when people turn away from God. The end of that chapter is about what happens when people turn away from serving God and are more interested in serving themselves than they are in serving God. And so what do? They begin to turn their minds over to evil practices. They begin to turn their minds over to idolatry. They began to turn their lives over to homosexual practices. And what does the Bible say? God gave them up to those practices because they were determined to live in there. And then you go to the end of Romans chapter 1, and God just starts listing sin after sin after sin after sin after sin. And he gets to the end of that, and he says, don't be involved and don't even come close to practicing such things. Not just a list of these sins. Okay, that's the only thing I need to avoid. God says, don't practice such things. And then he says in that verse, and don't approve of those who practice such things. Well, it wasn't me. I wasn't involved in it. Any teenagers ever been involved, ever been in a situation? Well, it wasn't me. I wasn't doing it. Yes, but were you there? Were you in the company of those who were doing it? What happens? It's not just teenagers. It's all of us. We need to watch where we are so that we're not just associating with evil, but to make sure that we, by our association or by our presence, are not bidding God speed to those things that are wrong. God says don't do evil and don't approve of those who do evil. So as we come to this passage and try to find God's formula for being happy, first thing I want us to see is that God says, you do these things and you're going to be sad. Here's God's guarantee for sadness. Go ahead and speak evil, associate with evil, and do evil, you'll be sad. But if you flip those around, isn't that a formula for happiness too? How can I be happy? Don't speak evil. Get those things out of my mouth. I'll be happy. Don't associate with evil, and you'll be happy. Don't do evil, and you'll be happy. But what I want to do is to look at three more things that I think we can group together and not just say we need to heed God's warning about sadness, but we need to see God's formula for happiness that He's going to give here. Do you see the word see in verse 10? He who would love life and, you got the next word? See good days. Do you want to see good days? Do you want to see happy days? Not the show. I mean, that was not bad either. If they put that on Netflix one day, that wouldn't be bad. So, you know, but I'm not talking about the show. Would you like to see happy days ahead of you? Do you see the word see, S-E-E? Do you see it in verse 12? You're going to look real hard and you're not going to see the word see there. But do you see a word that would go along with the word see? For the eyes of the Lord. You want to be happy? Take the word see in verse 10 and tie it to the word eyes in verse 12. You want to be happy? We need to see things through the eyes of the Lord. Too often we see things through our own eyes and we evaluate things through our own eyes and we don't have happiness. But you know, if we'd learn to see things through the eyes of the Lord, we might find happiness. So I want us to look not just at the negative things that we saw about sadness. I want us to look at three positive things very quickly. Three positive things in this passage. And Simon, the word positive starts with what letter? Thank you. Okay, so the word... Okay, all right. So the word positive starts with the letter P. We're going to look at three positive things, and they all start with the letter P. You want to be happy? You got to do three things. Number one, you need to practice what's good. Look at verse 11. Let him turn away from evil and then what? Do good. Isn't that so simple? How simple can it be? God says, turn away from evil. Okay, God, I've done that. Now what do I do? Do good. Do good. Do good based upon what? Based upon whose standard? Not my standard. Whose standard am I following when he comes to this passage and says, you go and you practice what is good. Do you know how much emphasis the New Testament puts on good works? Have you read about good works somewhere in the New Testament before? You know, you read about good works in James chapter 2. That faith without works is dead. Talking about good works. The Bible talks about the fact that we are created in Christ Jesus. What's our purpose? Ephesians 2 and verse 10. We're created in Christ Jesus for good works. That's what I'm created for. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10 says, if I'm going to walk worthy of the Lord, you know what I need to do? I need to be fruitful in good works. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. You know that verse. As we have opportunity, let us do, you know the next word? Good. As we have opportunity, let us do good unto. Are you serious? It says all men in that verse? Everybody? Well, fortunately, it didn't say all women. It just said all men. So maybe that's who's included in that? Oh, it's everybody. It's not the word for man there. It's not the Greek word on air. It's the Greek word anthropos for everybody. Do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. God says you want to be happy? Practice doing good. Not just good for what you receive. Good unto others. Good for others. Isn't that what agape love is all about? Is agape love looking for what I get out of something? Is agape love seeking to do something for somebody else so that I can get something in return? No, agape love is unconditional and it's unselfish. It's not about me, it's about you. If I want to find true happiness in life, if I want to secure true happiness from God, He says, practice doing good. Isn't that what Jesus did? It's interesting. It's interesting when Peter was preaching to the Gentiles about Jesus. Remember when Peter went to Cornelius' household in Acts chapter 10? And he's preaching to them about Jesus. What would you tell the Gentiles about Jesus? It's interesting what the statement that Peter makes in Acts chapter 10, I think it's verse 38, where Peter says unto them that he went, talking about Jesus, he went about doing good. What a summary of the life of Jesus. Peter takes the life of Jesus, boils it down into one statement and says, here's the life of Jesus. He went about doing good. Wonder if somebody looked at us and they boiled our life down to a simple statement. David went about. Mary went about. Cam went about. Wonder if somebody went to boil our life down into a statement, what would they say? He, she went about doing, fill in the blank. Peter said, here's Jesus. He went about doing good. When I wake up tomorrow, what's on my agenda? How about I just go about doing good? Doing good unto others, especially those of the household of faith. Want to be happy? That's God's formula. That's not scientifically proven. That's God proven. To practice good. Number two in this passage, number two thing I've got to do, look in the end of verse 11, I've got to pursue peace. When I'm doing good, the end of verse 11 says, let him seek peace and pursue it. The word pursue there is a word that means I hunt it down in order that I might catch it. Did you all ever watch, what was that guy's name that went about... I want to say Crocodile Dundee, but I know that's not the guy's name. Steve, what was Steve's name? Steve Irwin. You know, did you ever watch those? Did you watch that guy? You know, how careful he was, and some of you don't know who that is, but how careful he was and how he would create, and he was hunting something. He was not taking his eye off of the target. He was going to make sure that he was. God says that's what you do with peace. He says you pursue it, and literally it means you hunt it down so that you can catch it. I wonder if we're doing that with peace. Or are we saying, oh, I don't see it. What peace? Where is that? Oh, I guess I can't find peace. I'm not looking. God says, put your eyes on it. Pursue it. Look for it. Romans chapter 12 and verse 18. The Bible says, as much as depends on you, not anybody else. You don't know what he said. He's not in Romans 12 and verse 18. You don't know what she said. She's not in Romans 12 and verse 18. You don't know what they're not in Romans 12 and verse 18. You know who's in Romans 12 and verse 18? As much as depends on you. I'm the only one in that verse. It's not as much as depends on how everybody else acts. As much as depends on you, live peaceably with, oh, there it is again, all men. But the beginning of the verse says, if it is possible, as much as depends on you. There's some people it's hard to live in peace with. But you better not be that person. Because God says it needs to depend on you. You do as much as you can. This same idea of pursuing peace is in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, where God says to pursue peace with all people and holiness. And then he goes on and says, without such, no one will see God. We want to see God? God says we better pursue peace. And we better pursue peace with everyone. You remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes? Blessed are the peace wishers, for they... Is that what it says? The peace wanters? The peace lookers? What does it say? Blessed are the peace makers. Am I a peace maker? As much as it depends on me, am I a peacemaker? No matter what, am I a peacemaker? Somebody hurts your feelings. Somebody treats you wrong. Somebody does the worst thing imaginable to you or to your family or to your children. Blessed are the peacemakers. As much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. God says, here's your formula. Seek peace and pursue it. Third thing, very briefly. God's positive formula for being happy. Number one, I practice good. Number two, I pursue peace. Look in verse 12. Number three, letter P, I pray. Is there anything that could make you happier than verse 12? Look in verse 12. Does this make you happy? When verse 12 says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. If you're a child of God, if you're a faithful child of God, take out the righteous there and put your name there. The eyes of the Lord are on you. And His ears are open to your prayers. Anything make you happier than that statement? Can we not find happiness in knowing that God is looking down upon us? God sees everything. He's an all-knowing God. He knows everything that's happening on this earth, good and bad. But as His child, He sees me. And with His eye of love and grace and compassion, He sees me and His ears are open to my prayers. Whatever's on your heart tonight, God's ready to hear it. God's looking down. He can see your heart. He knows what's troubling you. God says, cast all of your cares upon me because I care about you. Does that make you happy? To know that we serve a God, that there's nothing too big for Him. There's nothing too hard for Him. There's nothing too complicated for Him. Cast all of your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. When we come before God, we go through our high priest Jesus in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. And we are to come before Him boldly in verse 16, to the throne of grace that we may obtain help in time of need. Where do you go when you need help? God says, come to me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll just give you more to worry about. Is that what He says? Come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I'll just add to it. I'll take my load and I'll put my load on you too. I'll give you rest. That make you happy? To know that we've got a God calls upon us to practice good and to pursue peace. And then He says, listen, I want you to pray to me and I want you to give all of your cares to me. Thank God that we don't have to go to Google to figure out how to be happy. Some of you have probably already Googled it here in the last few minutes and found some other great ideas about how to be happy. But there's not going to be any better ideas about how to be happy than not just scientifically proven facts, but God proven. Here's how to be happy. Avoid those things that are going to make you sad, speaking evil, associating with evil, and doing evil, and pursue those things that will make you happy. Are you happy tonight? Are you faithfully walking with the Lord tonight? Do you have the peace that surpasses all understanding tonight? Are you one of His children? We're going to sing a song of encouragement tonight, and the purpose of these songs of encouragement is to encourage. To encourage those who are not right with the Lord to get themselves right with God. If you've never given your life to the Lord, if you have never been baptized for the remission of your sins, Max was baptized on Friday, called up and said, now is the time. You know, and it wasn't that we said, well, that's great. You know, can you wait till next month? Maybe we can get a few more people together and we can have a baptismal service. No. He was like that Ethiopian eunuch riding along, says, here's some water. What hinders me from being baptized right now? Have you ever done that? Have you ever been baptized right at the moment you knew that you were separated from God and you needed your sins washed away? Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Have you ever done that? If you haven't done that, you can do that tonight. Let the blood of Jesus wash away every sin you've ever committed. If you've done that sometime in the past, but you've taken steps that have led you away from where you need to be in your relationship with the Lord, come back to Him tonight. Let us pray with you and pray for you. Let's get back on that path together. Let's find true happiness in serving God together. If we can help you get your life right with the Lord tonight, come right now as together we stand and sing.